Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have never preached on Titus before, and it's always there on Christmas Eve to go and check out. You know, it's like one of the readings, but I always avoid it. And I'm like, well, that doesn't feel like much of a reading, like you try to ring it out and there's not much there. And I thought I'd challenge myself this year and try to preach on Titus in a way that doesn't put you to sleep. All right. So that's the challenge tonight. All right. And so what I'm going to do, because tonight's reading from Titus, it's verses 11 through 14 says that the grace of God has appeared and that his grace is training us while we wait for Christ to appear again. So tonight, instead of a typical sermon, and maybe if you were here last year at the midnight service, I did something similar to this as well. I want to let that scripture, Titus, sound like a Christmas story, all right? Kind of like reading a bedtime story and talking about what Christmas really is and what Christmas is training us to wait for. All right. So listen, if you would, as you would a Christmas story, a bedtime story, but don't go to sleep. All right. All right. "'Twas the night before that first Christmas, and all throughout the land, the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve were sleeping. Not expecting, not anticipating, not rushing to Bethlehem." And that was the way with them. Always sleeping, never sober. Even when they were not sleeping, they still behaved like it was night. Ungodly and full of worldly passions. They lived for themselves, worshipped themselves, gorged themselves, destroyed themselves from the inside out. It was as if it were always the night before Christmas, but Christmas never came. Except for this night. There, in the little town of Bethlehem, it was happening. He was finally appearing. In the same region, angels appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shined all around them with good news of great joy for all people. And then the angels vanished, and the shepherds rushed toward Bethlehem. But one angel remained. He wanted to see too. And he followed, unseen. And by the time they arrived at the stable, it was the first Christmas. The baby born that morning was brighter than the rising sun. The glory of the Lord shined around him. The grace of God appeared in human form with fingers and toes and eyes and ears and a smile. And the angel saw something. They were shining like the baby, the mother and her betrothed. And even the dirty, smelly shepherds, they were shining too. They couldn't see it, but the angel could. They believed, they hoped, and they shined with Christmas Spirit. Faith in the appearing Savior. The angel saw what faith received. The glory and the grace and the light of God. The unseen angel stuck around to watch the baby Savior grow and grow and grow. He watched the grown-up Savior be baptized, and he listened to him preach and teach. He observed him do wonders. The light of the world was training the sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, training them to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and instead to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. And as he appeared to them, they believed too, and they hoped too, and they shined with Christmas spirit, faith in the appearing Savior. They couldn't see it, but the unseen angel could. And then, one dark Friday, on a cross, the light of the world stopped shining, extinguished in a tomb. And the others who were shining like him, they began to dim. And it felt again as if it were always the night before Christmas, but Christmas never came. But then, on the third day, before dawn, the tomb tore open and blinding lights burst forth, brighter than that first Christmas. And the same baby, the same fingers and toes, and the same eyes and ears and smile, was now risen from the dead, shining the glory of God in his brightest. The appearing Savior appeared again. He appeared to the women, and he appeared to the disciples, and he appeared to more than 500. And all the while, sons of Adam and daughters of Eve started shining too. He gave himself to redeem them from all their lawlessness. And he gave himself to purify them, to shine like him. And they did. They believed. They hoped. And they shined with Christmas spirit, faith in the appearing Savior. And then, 40 days later, the angel watched as Jesus ascended into heaven. The fingers and the toes and the eyes and ears and smile of that Christmas baby were gone. But his light stayed. His people, redeemed and purified, they were still shining. And they couldn't see it, but the angel could. And more began shining, and more, all throughout the land, all throughout the world, sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, everywhere, shining. He was gone, but his grace still appeared. The light of his glory and the Word and the water and the wine, bringing salvation for all people, training them to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, but most of all, appearing to give them the gift of Himself to redeem them and purify them. They believed, they hoped, and they shined with Christmas spirit, faith in the appearing Savior. But as years went by, the angel noticed the world still looked like night. The world went on as if it was always the night before Christmas, but as if Christmas never came. And the ones who did not shine the Christmas baby's glory, they still behaved like it was night too. Ungodly and full of worldly passions. And sometimes, no, many times, the ones who shined like Jesus, they behaved like it was night too. Ungodly and full of worldly passions. But wonder of wonders, even though they sinned, they still shined. It was only when they stopped believing, stopped hoping, stopped having faith in Jesus, only when they believed that they shined their own light and not the Savior's, it was only then that their light began to dim. It was the believing, the hoping, the Christmas spirit, faith in the appearing Savior that made them shine. And then the unseen Savior marveled. The shining sons of Adam and daughters of Eve began to celebrate that first Christmas again and again and again. Every year they celebrated the first appearing of the Christmas Savior with presents and songs and feasts, remembering that the grace of God appeared with fingers and toes, bringing salvation for all people. They celebrated Christmas, remembering that He had trained them to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. But most of all, they celebrated Christmas, remembering that Jesus appeared to give them the gift of Himself, to redeem them and purify them. This Christmas celebration trained them to be expecting, anticipating, joyful. Christmas would come and go, but their Christmas spirit, their faith in the appearing Savior, never dimmed. They learned to wait for their blessed hope, the second appearing of the grown-up Christmas baby, the same one who had risen from the dead, who would bring the dawn of an eternal Christmas, when their tombs would tear open like presents on Christmas morning, and their own fingers and toes and eyes and ears and smiles would shine with the blinding light of Jesus forever. These many years of waiting, 'twas the centuries-long night before the new Christmas, the final Christmas, the forever Christmas, when the appearing Savior, who had come once would come again. And all throughout the world, sons of Adam and daughters of Eve believed, hoped, and shined with Christmas spirit. Faith, waiting in faith for the final appearing of their Christmas Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.